This is Montana Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Edward O'Brien. A Montana lawmaker says he never knowingly received illegal campaign contributions from conservative groups during his 2010 election campaign. Representative Art Wittig testified during his trial yesterday that he hired a printing company called Direct Mail and Communications based on recommendations from other Republican lawmakers. He acknowledged that they mailed letters to voters on his behalf and designed his website, but he says he paid for the mailings and the site. Commissioner of Political Practices Jonathan Modell says Direct Mail and Communications is one of eight corporations operating under the National Right to Work Committee that provided a wide range of illegal campaign services for hand-picked candidates. He says Wittig did not report most of the services received and that Wittig undervalued those that he did report. Missoula officials are considering a 2-cent local option gas tax to cover the growing costs of road maintenance, construction, and repair. Jessica Morris, the city's transportation planning manager, says those expenses are outpacing the county's ability to pay for them.
It's a piece of public infrastructure that we need to take care of and need to invest in. And, you know, there's been a lot of deferred maintenance because there just hasn't been enough money to keep things up to par.
Morris says preliminary estimates suggest a 2-cent local option gas tax could annually raise anywhere from just over $630,000 to over $1 million. She realizes some Missoulians will oppose the idea.
I think that gas tax, although it's not perfect, it's at least a user-based fee versus a property tax, which doesn't necessarily capture how much someone uses the roadways or not.
Missoula city and county leaders will continue to discuss the gas tax proposal. Local voters defeated a similar idea in 1994. Some 465 coal mine workers in northeast Wyoming are being laid off. The Gillette News Record reports that Peabody Energy is laying off about 235 employees at its North Antelope Rochelle mine. And the Casper Star Tribune reports that Arch Coal announced yesterday it's laying off 230 workers at its Black Thunder mine. The companies have been hit with lower prices and decreased demand for coal. Both mines are located in the coal-rich Powder River Basin in Campbell County, and each employs more than 1,000 workers. Together, they produce about 200 million tons of coal a year. The layoffs represent about 15% of their workforces at the mines. The downturn in the energy and extraction industry also has prompted layoffs among oil and natural gas operators in Wyoming. Residents of a Missoula apartment building say their smoke alarms alerted them to an early morning fire, allowing them time to escape. The Missoula Fire Department responded to a 911 call at the two-story, five-unit apartment building shortly before 6 a.m. yesterday. Due to heavy fire in the stairwell, residents evacuated through their windows. Battalion Chief Kip Knapstad says the fire was extinguished and no injuries were reported. The Red Cross responded to assist the 11 displaced residents of the four damaged apartments. Cody Kruger told the Missoulian he and his sons were awakened by the fire alarm at 5:40 in the morning. He says he saw his upstairs neighbors jumping from their window while someone else pounded on his window and shouted fire. He says they escaped out the front window. The cause of that fire is still being investigated. In Yellowstone National Park, bicycle season began yesterday. 49 miles of park roads from the west entrance at West Yellowstone to Mammoth Hot Springs are open to cyclists. Yellowstone National Park spokeswoman Amy Bartlett says spring bicycling in the park isn't for everybody.
Spring bicycling is definitely not something that somebody should take lightly. They need to come prepared. There's no services offered along these roadways. Cell phone coverage is extremely sparse along the roadways that are going to be open. And there's not a lot of people out on the roadways, so they need to be prepared to self-rescue, to make repairs, be out in severe weather conditions.
Bicyclists are required to ride single file and follow all other rules of the road. They should also be prepared to encounter bears, bison, elk, wolves, and other wildlife at any time. The Missoula Current website reports Missoulian newspaper editor Matt Bunk was suspended until further notice this week. That according to an internal email acquired by the Current. The email did not specify a reason for the alleged suspension. The Current says newspaper staffers not wishing to be identified say Bunk was seen with a firearm in the office last week. Carrying a firearm on company property is reportedly against Lee Enterprises corporate policy. Bunk was hired late last year after former editor Sherry Devlin was demoted for undisclosed reasons. Devlin since filed a lawsuit claiming she was unfairly demoted. The Missoula Current website reports Missoulian publisher Mark Heintzelman told newspaper staffers he'd be out of the office until April 11th. Employees from the Billings Gazette will reportedly assist both the Missoulian and the Ravalli Republic during his absence. One of the owners of the coal-fired electricity plants, Colstrip Units 1 and 2, denies his company is angling for a fast-track closure. An attorney from Washington's Puget Sound Energy told attendees at the Montana Energy Conference in Billings yesterday the utility is looking to the long term. Yellowstone Public Radio's Jackie Yamanaka reports.
It's a reference to a bill passed earlier this year by the Washington State Legislature. It sets up a mechanism to fund decommissioning and cleanup of the two oldest units at the Colstrip power plant.
I don't agree the characterization, the fast track to closure.
Steve Sechrist is the general counsel for Puget Sound Energy. He says a utility based in Bellevue, Washington is planning for the long term.
Let's at least prepare now for a mechanism that is going to provide a funding for whatever happens with units 1 and 2. So this isn't intended as any kind of an acceleration. It is rather preparing for the eventuality.
But he stopped short of naming that eventuality. Travis Cavula is the vice chairman of the Montana Public Service Commission. He asked Sechrist about whether Montana would have a role in discussions about the future of Colstrip Units 1 and 2.
Emphatically, yes.
Sechrist says as an investor-owned utility, it welcomes the discussion and recognizes there are different perspectives and strong positions.
That was part of our motivation, quite honestly, in even looking at the legislation.
He says the utility is facing many challenges. This includes climate change, regional haze.
I don't think it's any secret. We have a trial scheduled for May 31st with the Sierra Club concerning Colstrip and wanting to put out there for discussion what is the right thing to do. Let's keep managing this forward and ultimately do something that is going to be in the best interest of our customers and minimize costs wherever we can.
As for Colstrip Units 3 and 4, Dan Vermillion of Avista Corporation says those coal-fired plants are low-cost and reliable. He says Units 3 and 4 remain a best resource for its customers going forward. Jackie Yamanaka, YPR News.
The Missoula Chamber of Commerce hasn't yet taken a position on a possible 2-cent local option gas tax, but Sam Sill, the chamber's government affairs director, says the idea brings two intriguing ideas to the table.
One is that it allows our community to shift the burden of paying for infrastructure onto the visitors who use our roads but really don't contribute to paying for their maintenance.
Sill adds Montana's local governments don't have many revenue options. Without a local option fuel tax, he thinks Missoula may eventually be forced to hike property taxes or development fees to pay for mounting road maintenance costs. Local officials are discussing the idea because those costs are exceeding available federal, state, and local revenue. Critics oppose a local option gas tax, in part because they say local taxes and fees are already inflating Missoula's cost of living. Missoula defeated a local option gas tax proposal back in 1994. Thanks a lot for listening. For Montana Public Radio, I'm Edward O'Brien.